Okay. I gotta do a little Shulchan Aruch. Good. Here in Shulchan Aruch, we left off in the middle of Hilchas Mila. So they have in Reish Samach Gimel, Sif Hey, a baby died before the eighth day, so he never had a chance to do the Bris Mila. So the Ge'onim have in the literature of the Ge'onim, some of them seem to imply that it's a mitzvah min HaTorah to do a Bris Mila on the dead baby. That we don't accept that it's a Darshanif and the Psukim. We don't assume that it's a mitzvah min HaTorah. It's a minig. It's a minig that you do a Bris Mila. You don't say a bracha because it'll be a bracha of HaTorah. There's no mitzvah. And you give the baby a name, Sheirachmu min HaShemayim v'yichya v'tchiyas HaMes. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. So before the First World War, there were a lot of maskilim in Europe. So they used to pick on certain minhogim and certain dinim that they didn't like. So they started a whole machlag. They didn't like this minig. They thought that this was disgusting. That you butcher up a baby is a loy died that the baby is an eifel. He died, then before you bury him, he cut off the or hol and said, they refused to fulfill this minig. So the Chevra Kaddisha refused to bury their children in a Jewish cemetery. They were maskilim, they were wise guys, but they didn't want to have their children buried in a Goyishan cemetery. That far they didn't want to go. So that was a big cause celebre, it was a big machloikas. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said that his grandfather, Rabbi Chaim, said that that's not right. It's not right on the part of the parents that they're not fulfilling this meaning. It's a meaning from the days of the garden, but the children shouldn't be punished. Why should you not allow the children to be buried in a Jewish cemetery just because the parents are doing something wrong? That's a discussion later in the end of Chelek Gimel in Yerideya. You have a whole simon about when you put people in Chayrim. So let's say if a person does Averis, they can put him in Chayrim, not allow his children to attend Chayrim. So what are the children in Shuldik? Why should they suffer? Just because the parents are wise guys. So it says, nonetheless, if you feel it's necessary, you have a right to. Rabbi Chaim felt over here that it's not right. Just because they're not mekayim the minig is not a valid reason that you should punish the children, not to let them be buried in a Jewish cemetery. We left out, we're going to get back to Hatavas Nabris, that's an important topic. We'll get back to it soon. Reis HaMech Dalet, it says, Mi roi lamo, who should be the moil? So we said a non-Jew cannot be the moil, and the Taz there quotes a machlokes in the Gemara. What's the Taz of cut and base in Avodah Zarah? Most of the dinim amila are in Perek of Lezed Mila, and some of the dinim are in Avodah Zarah Daf Chazayin over there. Some of the dinim are in Psochim, some of the dinim are in Yevamos Perek Oral. You can't find everything all in one place. So a non-Jew cannot be a moil, and that's a machlekes, which pasuk. Based on which pasuk, it'll come a difference whether ishuk sheva lomo. So we pasuk in Mikra Din, most of the Rishonim pasuk Mikra Din, ishuk sheva lomo. And if it's, the Shach says, if it's Mila Bizman, it's the eighth day, and there's no man who can do the Bris Mila, so we would rely on that opinion that ishuk sheva lomo. But the Nochri cannot do the Bris Mila. So the Min HaSchinach has a shaila, what if a non-Jew wants to convert? So right now, he wants to do his own Bris Mila. It's not so easy. He wants to do his own Bris Mila. So would we allow him to do, he's not Jewish. When he's doing the Bris Mila, he's not Jewish. But by doing the Bris Mila, that's the act of Geras, that's going to make him Jewish. So can you say, Boyin Ki Echad? We learn in Kitten this year. So the Gemara raises an issue, whenever you're Meshachar and Evet Kanaini, so Evet Kanaini doesn't have a Yad. Whatever he picks up, Mashukon Evet Kanaini Rabba, belongs to the Odom. So let's say the Odom, he says, Zochon the Odom Shalai Befanov. The Odom wants to be Meshachar to Evet Kanaini. So that was Machloikis HaTanaim, the end of the first Perek. He says, "Zchusu levet sheyotz mitachas rabbi lechevus." That the odon can write a shtashichur. The eved is not around, so he can give the shtashichur to someone else to be zech on behalf of the eved. Or he say, "No, it's a chayvu." So we pass, and it's a zchus that you can't give it to someone else. So what if the Adam himself writes the Shtar Shichur, and then the Eved is not around to give it to him, so he takes the Shtar from the right hand, puts it in the left hand, and he says, he'll be Zeichur, the Shtar Shichur, and the Eved yet. So he can't, it never left his Rishus. So even if he gives the Shtar Shichur to the Eved, Masha can't have a Kanarab, but the Eved doesn't have a Yat. It's like the Adam taking it from his right hand, putting it in his left hand. The Eved's hand is the left hand of the Adam. So the Gemara asks, how can you ever be Meshachar and Eved? The Gemara says, Gita the other boin kecha. That's what the Gemara says. That's a logical problem. The cause always has to precede the effect. So how can you say boin kecha? So that's what the Menchas Chinuch is Nesupik. The person is in the process of converting, and he has to do a bris mila to convert. So if he'll do the bris, if he'll do the mila, he will be Jewish. So can you say boin kecha or not? So it's a problem because on Shavuos, we were learning through the first night of Shavuos, we're learning the dinam of Gerus. So the proper form of doing Gerus is first you do the Bris Milah, then you have the Tefillah in the Mikvah, because right before they brought Pesach Mitzrayim, there was a national Bris Milah. All the people had a Bris Milah because Kol Orel Echobot, and Orel is not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara understood that the Bris Milah that they did in Mitzrayim right before bringing Pesach Mitzrayim was the first act of Gerus. And then it was completed, and Maim HaSeinim, and they all said, Nasim and Ishma, that was Kabbalah's on Mitzvahs, and then everybody went to Mikveh. In the Chumash, it sounds like only the married people went to Mikveh. That a Valkyrie and a Paletu Sheikh Lezer are not allowed to participate in Maim and Hasina, like you're not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash, Valkyrie and a Paletu Sheikh Lezer. But the Gemara shows where it says in the Pesukim, even the single people, everybody had to go to the Mikveh. So at the time that they had the Bris Milah, they didn't yet become Jewish. They only became Jewish later after they went to the mikveh. If you did it in the reverse order, that's a machloikas harishonim. What if you did the tefillah before you did the milah, machloikas? So the Shach recommends you should repeat the tefillah again. They were tovel in the mikveh, then they did the Bris Milah. So he says you should do the tefillah in the mikveh again, because it's a machloikas whether the Seder is meyakev. If the Rishonim hold, has to be in that order. So how does the Menchas Chinuch have a suffix whether the ger who wants to convert, can he do a milah himself? Maybe just say boin ke'echad. It's not boin ke'echad. Even after he does the milah, he's still a goy. He's not Jewish till he goes to the mikveh later. Right? We paskan mova le'tovol is a goy gomer. He's still a goy. He's not Jewish yet. So apparently the Menchas Chinuch thinks that boin ke'echad can work because the milah is one of the ma'ase gerus. It's not, he's not yet Jewish till he goes into the tefillah, but still, it's the first of the Maisa Geirus, and maybe you can still say Boin Keichon. The Menchas Chinuch has such a suffix regarding Kiddush HaChodesh. Every month, you have to have two witnesses come to the Bezin and testify that they saw the new moon. The witnesses have to be kosher aid. So a child before Bar Mitzvah is not kosher aidus. So let's say you have two children, not related, they come to the Bezin. They say, we saw the new moon, and you should make today Rosh Chodesh. They are not Bar Mitzvah yet. Their Bar Mitzvah is going to be on Rosh Chodesh. So if you accept their testimony, then they're kosher. If you don't accept their testimony, then they're not kosher. So do you say, Boin Kecha? So he said, we accept their testimony, and then they become Bar Mitzvah. So it comes out that we just machshir themselves. So that's the Minchas Chinuch Sofik. So I remember a few years ago, when I finished first year high school, so Rabbi Tendler was my Rebbe, Rabbi Moshe Tendler was my Rebbe the first year. So he sent a whole group of boys to learn at Lakewood. At that time, Lakewood was, they didn't have thousands of students at that time. The first 20 years, Lakewood was very shaky and it wasn't yet on firm ground. And then, so in those years, Rabbi Tendler's middle brother, Yossi Tendler, one who used to be the principal in Eretz Yisrael High School, he was learning at Lakewood, he was single at that time. And he was looking after us. So Rabbi Tendler sent a whole group of boys, I think there were less than 10, for sure there were less than 15, I think it was less than 10. He sent a whole group of boys to Lakewood to give chizuk to the yeshiva. So I remember Rabban Kotler wasn't there the whole week. He was in New York raising money for Chinuch Atzmai and for the yeshiva. And then he came to the yeshiva on Shabbos, so that's why they have hardly any tapes of shiurim that he gave. He always gave the shiurim on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when they couldn't tape anything. So he gave a shiur. The yeshiva was learning Gittin Daf Yud Gimel. about Maimon Shloshtan. He gave a shiur on something on Bavli Basra about Shtoris, and nothing to do with Gittin Daf Yud Gimel. There was a whole list of Maimon Karmis, but I didn't look it up. I didn't understand. I understood Yiddish, but I didn't understand what he was talking about. He gave a teretz on Rabbi Kivegan's Kasha on a Gemara, and somewhere in Bavli Basra, in Paraget Pashut, I think. So I didn't understand. So right after the shiur, everybody ran to the back room. They asked, where's everybody running? Everybody was there, less than 50 people. It was a small crowd there. So he said, Yankel Shif says a Chazar Shif. Yankel Shif is the best Talmud who ever learned. They say the best Talmud who learned the Lekwa, the big Talmud Chacham. Later on, he married the daughter of Rabbi Elvila Soloveitchik. He's still alive, but he has a little, tiny little group he learns with. You would have thought that the best Talmud of Baruch Kotel should have become somebody famous. Found the yeshiva. It's nothing. We never heard anything after he moved there at Yisrael. So they told me that Yankel Shif's Chazor Shif. They went to the Chazor Shif. I didn't understand what he was talking about either. So then I wanted to get something out of this Yankel Shif. So they had Shalosh Shudas afterwards on Shabbos afternoon. So I decided I'm going to sit next to Yankel Shif. I'm going to get something from him. So that's what he said over this Shaila in the Minchas Chinuch. If two Edim, two boys come, and they're just going to become Bar Mitzvah on Rosh Chodesh, they come tell the Bezdin, we saw the new moon. So if you accept their Edus, then they become kosher. Do you say Boyin Kechad or not? So he just pointed out, the old Shaila is a mistake. Even if the witnesses come and they say, we saw the new moon, it doesn't become Rosh Chodesh automatically. The Bezdin has the right to decide, Atem Afilu Mizidin. You can decide not to declare the day as Rosh Chodesh. You can decide to make the day as Rosh Chodesh even if the witnesses don't show up. Whatever the Bezdin wants, they have a right to do. Even if he made a mistake within certain bounds, Atem Afilu Mutnar, if they made a mistake. More than 613 mitzvah, the Ramban HaChumash, right, that's the only place where when they make a mistake, the psak is binding. Like Kiddush HaChodesh and Yibor Hashem, everywhere else, if the Bezdin makes a mistake, they reverse the psak, except for Kiddush HaChodesh. So the suffix of the Minchas Chinuch by the Nochri who wants to be mal himself, the Shem Geris, his Geris not going to be completed by doing the Bris Mitzvah. It's still going to be a goy till he goes to the mikveh. But still, the Mila is a Maisa Geris, so the Minchas Chinuch is mistopic. Maybe he still say Boin Keachot, even though it's not going to be literally Boin Keachot. He's not going to become Jewish till after he's going to go to the mikveh. So the same over here by the Haggadah Seders. The witnesses are going to testify they saw the new moon. It doesn't become Rosh Chodesh automatically. If they'll accept the testimony of the witnesses, then they'll have the right to declare that there is Rosh Chodesh. But still, the Minchas Chinuch was, it's a similar suffix in both cases. The Taina that Rabbi Yankel Shif had against the Minchas Chinuch by the Kiddush HaChodesh, the same Taina you have over here. So the Minchas Chinuch refers to the story of Rabbi Shlomo Molcho. Shlomo Molcho was from the children of the Anusim. When they had the expulsion, the Spanish Inquisition and the Spanish expulsion, they chased all the Jews out of Spain in 1492. So many of the Jews said they're converting to Catholicism and they're going to go to church, they're going to worship Catholicism. And privately, they kept it. So Shlomo Molcho was born to a couple who were Anusim. They were Maranos. They were observing the mitzvahs and hiding. And then later on, he decided it's going to be Mal himself. So the Minchas Chinuch quotes it, he was mal himself. But that wasn't a geiris, he was born Jewish. His mother and father were both Jewish, he was Jewish. That was a milu shel mitzvah. There's a chumrah from the Ovis der Rav Nosson that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Geirim, that if a Jew joins another religion, he's Ovid Avodah Zara, and then he wants to return back to become Jewish, he should be tovel and a mikvah in the presence of the Bezdin of Three. But that we assume that that's only by the Rabbanim, that's not by Natar. There were, in the days of the Goyim, there were Goyim who were of the opinion that a Jew who converts to another religion loses his Kedushas, his own Menatar, and he has to be Megayer Menatar. But we assume that it's only by the Rabbanim. We don't accept that opinion. Anyway, so the Minchas Chinuch quotes that. That's a part of history, a chunk of this. Shlomo Molcho was Megayer himself, and then they burnt him at the stake. They burnt him alive because it was against the law to convert to Judaism. He wasn't converting. He was Jewish all along. But they were acting, the parents, making believe as if they were Christians. And then he made a big public demonstration out of it that he was converting and his mal himself. So then they burnt him at the stake. Yeah, what if you have a Jew who is a mumer, l'cholat Torah kula? A Jew doesn't keep any mitzvahs at all. So he's Jewish. You can't use him as your Shabbos goy. He's still Jewish. He can't shave off his, let's say he's, I'm a barber. He comes for a haircut. I'm not allowed to use a razor to shave off the pay. He's Jewish. He can't sell a chametz to him. He's Jewish. He's not a goy. If he'll shech the behema, I say, mumer, shechita, mumer, dina, ka'acham, shechitos, and avela. That's a machlekes, but the shechitos, and avela, menatorim, and the rabbonim. That din, mumer, dina, ka'acham, is that menatorim, and the rabbonim. That's a machlekes of Rishonim, and a machlekes achronim. The shach, and simon beis, and every day, and hilcha shechita has machlekes achronim, and the chidor has a commentary on the anyankes, so on daf hei, and the chulim, where the gemara has that din, mumer, dina, ka'acham, shechitos, and avela. He quotes a machlokes Bali Atosis, whether that din moment din yakam hakam is the rice of the Rabbah. So here in the Ramah here in the Reish Samach Dalet says if you have a Jew who's a mumer, just like a Nochri cannot perform a bris milo. The Ramam says, a Nochri, the Ramah quotes that Gemara Navar Dizor, a non-Jew may not, we wouldn't permit a non-Jew to do the bris milo, but if the non-Jew did the bris milo, we wouldn't require a tovus dam bris. So we spoke yesterday, Kes Mishnah says that Rambam understood that it's only a psul l'chatchila, but b'dieved it's kosher. If a goy does the milah, Shagdari says not true. It's not that it's kosher b'dieved. It's no good l'chatchila. It's no good b'dieved. But Farfan, there's nothing he can do. He doesn't have an orla anymore, so there's nothing he can do. So we don't accept that Rambam. We paskan like the Shach that whenever the Shach was in Reish Samach Beis, Sivkotin Beis, there was a long Shach there. We follow the Shach that whenever the Mila was done by Psul, either Anochri did the Mila, was done by Laila, Mila even Shalai Bizmana has to be done by Yom, or be done Toch Shmoina Yomim. You can't do the Bris before the eighth day. So whenever the Mila was done by Psul, so we pass, and you have to have a Tavis done Bris. We don't follow that Rambam, that once you did the Mila by Psul, there's no way to rectify. We assume that if Anochri does the Mila, it's possibly Medievit, you'll need a Tavis done Bris. But here the Ramah has this Chiddush. That if a Jew is a mumer l'cholat Torah kula, mumer l'dabrach, let's say the person doesn't keep kosher, he always eats straight. I mean, only observe Shabbos, other things he observes, but kashrus he doesn't observe. So that's mumer l'dabrach. So mumer l'dabrach is a machloekes satanoim and chayrus and daf lamed with his dina ka'akum anai. Reb Meir holds mumer l'dabrach dina ka'akum l'cholat Torah kula. We don't paskin like Reb Meir. We paskin mumer l'avodizara. A mumla chal Shabbos, but for Hesia, it's only mumla dabrach as dina ke akum, or mumla rov dina hatorah. Let's say he violates the majority of the mitzvahs that he's aware of. Some mitzvahs he never heard of, that's b'shogeg. But for the majority of the mitzvahs that he's aware of, so if he violates them, so that's mumla chal Torah kula, that's dina ke akum. So that the Ramah quotes from the Balu Hiter that a Jew who's a mumla dina ke akum cannot serve as the mumla. Just like that, a nochri cannot be the moil, so Jews momadin hakum cannot do the bishmir. So Rabbi Kiveger has a long comment over here, a long shtikal Torah. He wrote all these on the margin of the Shulchan Aruch. There are two editions, Rabbi Kiveger. In Europe, when they printed, Rabbi Kiveger had a few sons. So one son printed the Shulchan Aruch with the horis of his father, that he had on the margin on the Shulchan Aruch that he had. Another son went to Johannesburg, South Africa. People think that it's Johannesburg in Austria. No, Johannesburg, South Africa. Rabbi Kiveger had a son and went to Johannesburg, South Africa. He had a different set of Shulchan Aruch with his father's comments, and each one printed a different set. There was little overlap, but each one different printed. They printed the Haaretz. Now in Eretz Yisrael they have Rabbi Kiveger HaShalmei. So they put them both together, and I have all the horrors of Rabbi Kiveger. So here, Rabbi Kiveger, in this edition, the Vilna edition, I have a long footnote over here from Rabbi Kiveger. He shows that Tosfos doesn't agree with the Balei. The Balei was one of the Balei Tosfos. Balei lived in Marseille, in France. But he shows that Tosfos and Avodah Zarah holds not so. That if he's a Jew who's a mumer l'chol Torah kula, and he'll do a bris milah, it will be kosher. It's not the best model to have. But the other little kosher. Then he writes, then Rabbi Kiveger writes, Acha kach reisi bibir hagoen Rabbi Eliyahu Mivilna shakosav kein al haramor, that the bir agro, they showed him the bir agro, where the gro writes, even though the balurita says that, that's the balurita, avalatais v'sham kos v'lehepach. Taisus says not so. That's Rebbe Kivegas Taisus. So he found that the Vilna Gaon said like that. Then the Rama has a further chumrah. Let's say there is a Jew who's only mumma ledavar echad. So he's not dina kakmo chol terkul. We don't pass him like Rav Meir. But the Rama has a chumrah chiddush. Mumma ledavar echad is dina kakmo laosa davar. So let's say the person, this Jewish person, never had a bris milah. The parents never arranged, and he refuses to have a bris milah. No. He refuses. Other mitzvahs he does keep. He does not have a bris milah. It says mumma ledavar echad dina kakmo laosa davar. So since Dina Kakma Gabi Milo, he cannot serve as the moil. It's as if he's a goy. So that's a big chiddush. Mumel Dover Echad, Dina Kakam Lois Adover. But that they quote, on the side they quote the Prichadosh, disagrees with this Ramah. There's a Ramban ala Torah. I remember Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. There's a Ramban ala Torah in Parshas Boy, Kol Ora Leyechol Boy, and Kol Benecha Leyechol Boy. The Ramban over there assumes like this Ramah. That the mumla davar echad is dina kakam ba osa davar. Halacha lemaisa, how do you paskin on this shaila?
Would he be possible because of hamoyimo? If he doesn't
have hamoyimo? That one?
Same reason Anisha's pater can't be the mo, because hamoyimo.
I don't hear. Same reason that one?
Gemara learns that Anisha would be possible as a moel because hamoyimo, if you don't have hamoyimo,
yeah.
You can't be the moel. So if
The Gemara says, let's say you have a non-Jew who had circumcision for hygienic reasons, he's still called an Aro. He's still called an Aro. And if you have a Jew who didn't have a bris milah, he's still called a mohel. Even though he didn't have a bris. We don't take it literally. Hamo yimo. The Jews are called mulim, and the nochem are called arel. So halacha lemaisa, what's the din? Let's say it's the Yom HaShmini, and the only moel in town is a Jew who's absolutely not observant at all. So Rav Soloveitchik told us that he discussed this issue with his father, and they decided they think the psak should be al petza machlokes here. The Vilna Gaon and Rebbe Kivega quote the Taisa, they think the din is that Yisrael Momer can do a bris milah, and the Rama says you shouldn't allow it. So after the Second World War, many Jews were afraid to perform bris milah on their children because there were a lot of cases where the Nazis didn't know whether you were Jewish or goy, so they would check to see if you had an orla or not. So after the war, a lot of Jews were afraid to be able to be identified as a Jew. There may be another Holocaust that may decide to kill more Jews. So many Jews were afraid to do a bris milah. So at that time, we were happy if Jewish people are going to fulfill the mitzvah milah. Rav Soloveitchik said, he said his father, I don't know what he said, the father, they both came up with this psak. If the parents are not so observant, and there's a concern, when the baby's only 8 days old, he doesn't feel, his nervous system hasn't been sufficiently developed. He doesn't feel any pain. The baby cries because he's cold, because he's touching it, but he doesn't feel the pain that you're cutting anything. You're going to wait a couple of months. Let's say the guy's in the army, and they're in Korea. And his wife has a baby. So if they're going to wait till they come back to civilization, the baby will already be a few months old. And then it will be painful, so the parents may not want to do the bris milah. So if there's a concern that the parents are not so observant, may not want to do the bris milah, so then you should be maker like the Gro and Rebbe Kivega. You should allow, and the army base has a doctor who's a non-observant Jew. He doesn't keep Shabbos, Kashrus, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, doesn't keep anything. So then you should allow the Jewish non-observant Jew to do the bris milah. But if the parents are observant Jews, and they're not going to leave their child without a bris milah, so more correct is you should be machman for the Ramah. So remember, there was a boy, he was a chaplain in the army. The yeshiva used to have a goyro when they gave smicha, so they used to have a lottery who has to go to the army to serve as a chaplain. So this fellow had to go to the army. So he was in the Philippines. And they had no mikveh. So his wife had to go to Ivel in the Pacific Ocean. She was always petrified as if she's going to be bitten by sharks. So she used to be to Ivel with a loose bathrobe. The sharks can bite into the loose bathrobe also, but she was scared. So she would be to Ivel and says, you can be to Ivel. A loose bathrobe, there's no chatzitza. And then they had a baby boy. So he sent a telegram to the yeshiva, to the rabbinic alumni. The only Moel available was the Jewish doctor on the army base. The Philippines was not observant at all. So they gave him back a psak. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, it's okay that we pass like the Vilna Gaon and like Rabbi Kaveger, that a mumer can do the bris milas. I sent him, he was friendly with me, I sent him a telegram that wasn't the whole psak. The psak was, if the parents are not observant, they're afraid they're not going to do the bris mila a couple of months later. But here the parents, it was a muspel from the yeshiva. So if the parents are observant, for sure they're going to do the bris mila, you should wait till you get back to civilization. So that son who was born then is now a prominent Talmud Chacham. Very big Talmud Chacham. I think he's a Rabbi Mansi somewhere. The din requires that the moel shouldn't be a goy. So there were two explanations. Either because the goy, even if he has a circumcision, he is called an oro, or because he's not a ben bris. So the Gemara says, and it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, that B'nai Keturah, after Sori Mena died, so Avram Avinu married Keturah. And it says that they had six sons. So the Gemara says, B'nai Keturah hachayovim and Milo. So that's Machlekes Rashi and the Rambam, what does that mean? So Rashi learns, the six children who were born to Keturah, and their father was Avram Avinu, even though they weren't Jewish. Because Kibi Yitzchak Karl Chazer, only Yitzchak and not the children of Keturah. Nonetheless, Avram Avinu was b'chiv to be malem. But their descendants, Bizman and Zed, those who are descendants of the B'nai Keturah, Rashi, they're not chayv. Only those six children of Keturah, their names appear in the Chumash. And the Rambam learns also. The Rambam learns that all the descendants of B'nai Keturah are chayv Bizman and Zed in Milam. How do you know who's a descendant of B'nai Keturah? Bos al Chayra, Bilbal is called Olam Kula. Nobody knows who's who. So the Rambam says that all of the Arabs, you know, they're not Chinese, they're not Japanese. That's a different nationality. B'nai Keturah belong to the Arab, the Semites. They're descendants from Avraham Avinu. So those who are Bob Cheshman, those are Asafik. So the Rambam says they're all mukhiv to do a bismillah. But if they won't do the bris milah, there won't be a chayv misa. The din is that the nochrim have seven mitzvahs ben noach, and if they violate any one of the seven mitzvahs, they put to death. But noach is nerag and gezel. By Jews, you're not chayv misa. You have to pay kefal sometimes, but you're not chayv misa for gezel. But by b'nei noach, you're chayv misa for gezel. So the question is, what if the b'nei noach, they didn't violate an aver, like gezel, they eat the eve melachai, they're doing an aver b'kol miaseh. They failed to fulfill the mitzvah saseh. Yeah, they didn't do the bris milah. So the Rambam has a machlokes with the Ramban. The Rambam says that the chayiv misa for failing to fulfill the mitzvah saseh. But he says today that all the Arabs are all mixed up together. We don't know which Arabs are descendants from B'nai Keturah, which are not. So you don't give an oynesh misa. They're all mechuyev to be mal. Why don't you go basar roiv? So the Achrayim say that the din of Acharav Lahata said you go basar roiv to be matar and iser, bitl beroiv only applies to Jews, doesn't apply to goyim. That's an interesting chiddush. Let's say you have an Eved Melachai. So the Eved Melachai got mixed up with other pieces of flesh. So it should be bottle, chad betray would be bottle. So these Achrayim want to say chad betray bottle for Jews, but for Nochrim, there's no din of bitl beroiv. Well, here also, there's no din that you have a right to go basar roiv. So all those who are possibly b'nei keturah according to the Rambam, that's what says the Rambam, the role chayv to be mal themselves, you have the right to be mekel by going basar roiv, but you don't give einash misa. You know, if it's a sofik, then you say sofik and pashat lokal, you don't give an einash misa. The Ramban Achumish quotes the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, in the Mishnah Torah, it's in the Mer Nevuchim, I think also. Why did Yaakov Avinu, why did Shimon Levi, why did they wipe out the whole city of Shechem? Why do they have the right to wipe out the whole city? So the Rambam explains, because the people in Shechem violated one of the seven mitzvahs ben Noach. They violated dinim. Dinim means the non-Jews, ben Noach, are obligated to set up a judicial system to punish people who violate averas. So here they violated an avera. Shechem ben Hamor raped Dina, and they let him get away with it. They didn't punish him at all. Should be chayv misa. if you chay misa on gezel, see, a gezel pachim shaput, you said chay misa for raping someone, for being chayvul b'chaver, you chay misa. So that's what the Rambam says. Since the people didn't bring Shechem ben Hamor to judgment, they didn't punish him, and they all knew what happened. It was public. It was public knowledge. Everyone knew. So that's why they were chay misa. The Ramban Chumash says, how can it be? You're not chay misa for failing to fulfill a mitzvah. Chay misa, if you violate an avera, the kumbi will say, not fulfilling the mitzvah, that's a shevi al tasa. How can you be chay misa for that? So the Ramban said, that's not why. He says, God, they knew the bnei, all the people who lived in the city, they all did avera zara. They did all kinds of isurim. They did all the other isurim. They weren't chay misa because they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of dinim. Chay misa because of the averas that they did. So that's a discussion over here. We don't have any Bnei Keturah today. We don't know who the Bnei Keturah. They're all Nisaru, Bolachar, Bosachar, and Bilbolas, Kolokot. We don't know who the Bnei Keturah. But they have the Pizchei Tshuva over here, Sivkot, and Yud Beis. Or is it Yud Gimel? I forgot already which one it is. Maybe it's in the previous Siman. Yeah, the previous Siman. The last one, Yud Gimel, is in Siman Rei Sama Gimel. So he quotes a Machloikis Achrayim. If you have a Nochri from the Bnei Keturah, and they were mal themselves, are they kosher to be mal the Jewish people? So the Pashta says that not. It's a different, even according to the Rambam. The Rambam is a strange opinion. Shakazari has a tshuva where he discusses what's the din with the Bnei Keturah. He thinks that Rashi is right. He doesn't agree with the Rambam. So how can it be? They're goyim. The goyim only have seven mitzvah. They don't have mitzvah mila. Avraham Avinu had a mitzvah to be mal the sixth Bnei Keturah. He was the father. They're all of chayv lomel is benoy. But the Bnei Keturah today, they don't have a separate din from everybody else. So that's the pashtus is, even if you hold like the Rambam, the Chodesh the Rambam, but the Nochrim, how can you say that the Bnei Keturah or Gemal are kosher to perform a bris milah for the Jewish people? It's a different kind of a bris milah. We were talking a little bit yesterday about Reish Sama Gimel, about the suffix of hemophilia. If you have two sisters, it shouldn't apply to two brothers, because hemophilia is only carried by the females, not by the males. That was a machlekes in Bechaber de Ramon. So if there was a machlekes hatanoim, how many times do you have to have this repeat itself, that it should be a latest a suffix? There should be a suffix, maybe this hemophilia. Two times or three times. A machlekes Rebbe Reb Shem Gamliel. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes the same machlekes by Katlanis. Katlanis is a funny din in the Gemara. A couple is married and the husband died. And then the woman got married a second time. Second husband died. And the third time, the third husband died. So since three husbands died on her, machlekes whether two husbands or three husbands, if three husbands died, then she's huchzuka to be a katlan. What do you mean? He died from cancer. This one died from a different thing. This one was murdered. What has it got to do with her? What has it got to do with the wife? So it's a funny Gemara. So the Gemara has a Shaila. Is it Mazel Goyrem? Why did the rabbi say you shouldn't marry the woman? Is it that Min HaShamayim were afraid maybe there were guys that this woman should suffer, she should never have a normal husband? And if you're going to marry her, there's a good likelihood that you're going to die also. Or do you say, no, Mayan Goyrem, maybe there's some kind of a sickness that she's transmitting by being together with her husbands? So usually, the Gemara comes to the Maskana. Vestas and Sharamuad, you need three times. A short time pays Chazi and Ezek Migufo, until the fourth time it's Mazik, that it pays Nezek Shalom and Aliyah. So there we paskin, you need three times, and the fourth time you're Sharamuad. And same thing, a woman establishes a Vestas, so three times in a row, she has a Ria on the same day of the Hebrew month, or three times in a row, she has the same Vesas Afloga, same interval between the last Ria and this Ria. So then, Bitlasib Nehavi Chazok. And by Katlanis, the husband's dying, or by Mesa Banam Achmas Mila, there we pass, and it's two times. So that's the question, what is this compromise based on? What is it based on? So the Muki Yosef, the Meforshim and Shulchan Aruch, we'll usually quote the Nebuk Yosef on Yavamas, because the Sugi is in Yavamas. On the side of the Rif, you often have the Ran, and in Yavamas you have the Nebuk Yosef. So the Nebuk Yosef says, that by Shor HaMuad, he say, HaMoitze Machavera Olav HaRaya. It's a question whether two times or three times. So you want the Baal HaShor to pay Nesek Shor HaMinu Aliyah. So that's HaMoitze Machavera Olav HaRaya. So there you have to wait till the fourth time. You can't say two times is a Chazakah, and already the third time it pays Nesek Shor. And by, so that's why, yeah. And then Vestas is only the Rabbanon. Since we put the Machlex and the Gemara, whether the Din of Vestas is the Raisa Rabbanon, we pass on the Rabbanon. Since the Rabbanon is so unmakel, that she doesn't have to observe the Vestas until it repeats itself three times in a row. But by the others, by the Mesa Berel, Machmas Mila and Katlanis, that's a Sufik Nefoshes La'okel. You have to be concerned about the Sufik Nefoshes. So that's why if it happened two times, it's already a Leir Sassam. That's what the Nemuki Yosef says. So usually the Taz or the Shach will quote the Nemuki Yosef. That's the Pasha Tipshan. That's a Shaila like this. Let's say you're eating soup, then you find a worm in the soup. So if you find one worm, you're allowed to continue eating the soup. You don't have to be concerned, maybe there's another one. What if you find the second worm? Or you have flour? So you want to check the flour before you. Sometimes there were eggs from worms in the flour, and if you keep it in the refrigerator, that'll prevent it from developing to become a worm. But if you don't keep it in the refrigerator, so then it may become wormy. So let's say you're sifting out the flour and you find one worm, so you don't have to be choshish for more. If you find two worms, it's already osur. You assume a later sasafik. Now you have to check everything. Or is it only if you found three worms? Is it two worms or three worms? Or in yeshivas, when they serve lunch, so they serve soup for lunch. They tell me in Eretzot, this is very common in the yeshivas. One guy screams out, one worm! The other guy screams, one worm! So then, does everybody have to stop eating the soup? Or only if three strikes and you're out? Is it two strikes or three strikes? So that's the shaila. When is it two times? When is it three times? So the Nemuki Yosef sort of treats it as if it's a sveik and adina. So Mamoni said, Moitzem Chaver Olav HaRai, you only pay Nezik Sholem and Aliyah the fourth time. And Vestas is the Rabbanon, so you make all. It's not that it doesn't have a Din of Vestas till the fourth time, till after three full times. And then the others is Sofik Nefashos. So if a worm, if it's a Sofik Lerai, so you should go to Chum. Yeah, Rav Soloveitchik gave a different suggestion. Instead of saying, like the Nebuki Yosef, each case is a different Cheshbon. He suggested like this, I'm adding on a little bit. The din is, let's say, a shor hamuad, you pay nasik sholem ben aliyah. Let's say the shor killed behemah shel hefker 10 times. And then the 11th time kills a behemah that belongs to someone. Behemah shel hefker, there's no one to pay. So the Gemara is beferish, if it was the gichas, that you're not chayv to pay anything, it doesn't make you into a shor hamuad. Or let's say the shor killed three times. So the shor kills once, you have to give it Arshor Yisokel, you have to give it Misa. But the Baal HaShor only pays Kofer if the shor killed the fourth time. So what if it killed Nochrim the first three times? So the din is Kemisa Abana Kach Misa Shor, just like if Yisrael kills a Nochri, the Yisrael is not Chai Misa. So if the shor kills a Nochri, the shor is also not Chai Misa. So if the Behemah killed three times Nochrim and the fourth time it kills the Yisrael, you don't pay koifer. You have to have negicha shel chiyuv. And the same thing to be established a vesis. Let's say the woman is in Yemei Tohar. She had a baby, and she had a baby girl, so that 14 days Yemei Tumah, then the 66 days Yemei Tohar. So one of the 66 days of Yemei Tohar, she's going to have a riyaz dam. But yes, it's highly unlikely. It's very, very rare. It takes a long time till the woman gets back to herself. When the woman delivers a baby, there's a bucket full of dam there. There's a bucket full of dam, so it takes a long time. It takes weeks and weeks. But the Gemara has as an abstract. So the Gemara said, let's say the woman, she healed already after she delivered the baby, and then she is establishing a vesis, and one of the riyas took place, bimei tohar. So the Gemara says, since it's a riyah that's not metame, it's not mitzarv to create a din of vesis. So you see, it's a gzeiras hakosav. It's not just to be mevara the mitzias. Is there such a regilus? You have to have davka negicha shel chiyuv, and you have to have davka riyas that are metame. So if you want to create a chal Hashem, that this is the yom aveses and this is the shor hamuad, then Rav Soloveitchik said, maybe then you need three times. And two times, you just want to establish what the regilus is. So when Trezim they have a chazaka, by Mesa Bena, Machmas Mila, and by Katlanis, two times creates a latest asaf. But if you want to create a chalashem, like a shoramua, do you see that as a chalashem? Because the gichas have to be in the gichas shalchiyah, and the riyas have to be a riyah that's metame. That was his suggestion. Not the way they quote from the Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, Katlanis, there's a Rambam, I think, where he quotes the Rima Gash. The Rambam's father learned by the Rima Gash. And the Rambam, his father, Rav Maimon, took him to the Rima Gash, gave a bracha to the Rambam when he was a young child. He should grow up to be a big Talmid Chacham, and then he attributed his success in learning to the bracha that he got from the Rima Gash. He writes in one place, the Rima Gash was Sichlam Mavis B'chol HaTalmid. He was a super genius. He could really happen in a mistake, two or three mistakes, that's all. He can't happen the man in anything. That's the great, fantastic respect he had for the Rima Gash. The Rima Gash did away with the whole thing of Katlanis. He said the whole thing is all superstition. It doesn't make any sense at all. And the Gemara is telling him, what are the guidelines for the people who want to be superstitious? But if you don't want to be superstitious, so there's no issue of Katlanis. Usually by Katlanis, they're always mitzarf that the Rima Gash with other tzedarim. You know what happened. Let's say I have a cousin, a girl. So the first boy that she married had a heart condition. He was learning in the Kol. First boy she married had a heart condition before she married him. And then he died from, she had a few children. Then he died from his heart condition. So we know it's before he married her. She married him knowing that he had a heart condition. Then she was an almana, and she married a person who was 30 years older than her. That was her teacher in Maimonides. My uncle used to teach in Maimonides in Boston, in the day school there. So she married her teacher who was never married before. He died at a ripe old age. He died. He was 30 years older than her. So he passed away when it was done. So they were makel that she doesn't have a din of katan, because you know what, the first one had a condition before she married him. The second one, we knew he was an older person, and we know why he died, normal. Then she married the third one, she married a Baal Tshuva from, she lives in Eretz Yisrael. So she married a Baal Tshuva from Russia, who worked for a living. So my uncle said, finally a normal shidduch, husband works for a living. The first husband learned in a kollel, the second husband was retired. The third husband was a normal guy her age, and he had a job. Now she's married with the third husband. So they usually the makel always by katlanis. And whenever a case of katlanis, they're always mitzarif as one, and it's done in the hokil. The Rima Gash says the whole thing is all superstitious to begin with. So, you know, if you're not worried about it, so don't be worried. Usually they makel on all the katlanis cases. Yeah, here, we mentioned there are different cases where they discuss hatafas dabris. So one case was here in Simen Reish Samach Gimel, Noilad Mohol, Siv Dalet. The baby was born with the Eva Hazachris, but there's no Ora Priya. There's nothing, it's Megula. So that's a Machlaikis in the Gemara, Machlaikis Hatanoim. And we paskin, what's the machloikis? The Gemara has different suggestions. So Gemara has one suggestion that maybe it's a suffix orla kvusha. Maybe there's orla kvusha. What does orla kvusha mean? So the Urzarua was from the Bali Ataisa. Urzarua was the Rebbe of the Maharam Rutenberg, who was the Rebbe of the Rosh and the Mordechai Nagos Maim, at the end of the Tkufa of the Bali Ataisa. Urzarua lived in Vienna. Ben Yitzchok Urzarua. So the Urzarua understood the Gemara literally. Maybe there's Orla Kvusha, maybe there's Orla around the gid of the baby, and it never separated. So what the Gemara says you have to do, Hatavas Damris, means you have to take a knife and cut off the outer layer. So the Gemara tells a story that one of the Amoraim had a baby, Noilad Mohol, and he did Hatavas Damris, and he made him into a Krushovcha. He wasn't able to have children because of that. So according to the Ozra, you understand why. You're peeling off a whole layer of skin, the outer layer of skin, from the Eva Hazachris. We don't assume like that. We just assume you don't cut off a layer of skin. You just hatof is dambris. You have to take out a drop of blood. And then the Chazon Ish says, strictly speaking, you don't even have to take out a drop of blood. He quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. There's a din maka of the ima is chayv nisa. When is it called maka of the ima? If he makes a chabura, if he causes bleeding. So then the Gemara says, not only if he causes bleeding, even if he slaps the parents and he causes a black and blue mark, that's dead blood. Black and blue mark means that dead blood is no longer circulating. So that's the same as if the blood would have come out. When it's a black and blue mark, that's also called maka ovim. So the Chazon Ish says, let's say you take a needle that has a very sharp tip and you scratch it on your arm. So if you rub hard enough, you'll have a red mark over there. What is the red mark? That's dead blood over there. So he says, when you do atovas dambis, you don't have to cut in order that it should bleed. If you take a tip of a needle and you scrape a little bit, and it's nitzvar hadam under the skin, that's considered atovas dam. That's a kula from the Chazon Ish. But then the Chazon Ish in his sefer has a disagreement with everybody else. Where are you supposed to make this? Seredak. That's what he calls it, seredak. A thin mark, a red mark. So everybody assumes wherever the orlo would have normally grown from. Let's say the baby was nolad mohol, so there's nothing to cut. So we want to have hatavas dambris. So we're going to cut on his finger. That's going to cut on his toe, cut on his arm. That's not hatavas dambris. It has to be from the right place. So is there a right place? So the Gemara, this is the Rav Soloveitchik was saying over this pshat. This is from the Avnei Nezer. I think he probably picked it up from the Avnei Nezer. He picked up a lot of things from the Avnei Nezer. So Avnei Nezer says that's the shot in the Gemara. Is it Sofik or Lokvusha? When the baby was developing, he didn't fully develop. He never developed. Some of the babies don't. They're missing limbs. They're missing parts, organs. So this baby didn't fully develop. There's no Orha Orla, there's no Orha Priya. These two are missing. So do we assume that at one time there was a potential, in the 9 months of pregnancy, there was a potential that it should have developed into an Orha Orla, Orha Priya, and then something changed it? Or should we assume the whole pregnancy in the first place, that never had a potential of developing? Not that something happened later. So that's what it means, Sofik Orla Kvusha, Vada Orla Kvusha. If this pregnancy never had even the potential in the first place of developing an orha orlo, so what are you going to gain by cutting, by making a hatovas dam? It's like cutting on the finger. It's like cutting on your nose. It has nothing to do with the bris. But if originally there was a potential of developing orha orlo or apriya, and then something happened in the pregnancy and it didn't turn out like that, it didn't pan out, so then if you're going to make a seredak, that's going to be hatovas dam bris. So that's what the Gemara says. It depends whether it's a Sofik or a Lekvusha, or a Vaday or a Lekvusha, or not at all. There's no or a Lekvusha. So where are you supposed to do the Hatavah? Where is it? So usually people, everybody else assumes, all the Rabbanim assume, from that point in the Gid, Eber HaZachar, where the Or HaOrla would have come out. Here there was no Or HaOrla. Wherever it would have been, since theoretically, in the beginning of the pregnancy, theoretically, it was going to have an Orha Orla, but it just didn't develop. So if you cause a little bleeding, or cause Nitzra Adam there, that would be called Hatavas Dambris. The Chazon Ish thought that that was a joke. He thought that that wasn't correct. So he writes in his Sefer, he thinks that you have to do Hatavas Dambris on the tip of the Gid. You have to have you have to cut it in order to bleed. You have a needle that's sharp, and you make a little scratch. So the Moilim, in order to satisfy the both opinions, they used to make a seredak, take a needle and have a just rub against the place where the skin would have normally come out from, and a little further on the tip of the aver, and it's going to heal by itself. You have to be careful not to cut too hard. So you satisfy the both opinions. So just a week before Shavuot, a couple of days before Shavuot, Amoyal came here to the yeshiva to discuss a shaila that he has with me, and he gives me a copy of a letter that they sent to his father years ago, that they think that the Chazon Ish, at the end of his life, changed his mind, and he agreed with everybody else. That's what it sounds like. He attended a bris, and the bris was already done from before, but psul, and they were going to do atavas dan bris, so they didn't do on the tip. They just did where the skin came out. The Chazon Ish was there, and he told them they should do like that. So the, based on that letter, they said they had the impression the Chazon Ish backed out from his unique opinion. Rav Nevinsel put out the Mishnah Brura in the sixth volume, and he has the Oris on the bottom. Very interesting. He quotes a lot of time from Shlom Zalman Oibach. He used to learn with him Bacharusa for many years. So in the end of the sixth volume, he has a few pages of general information. So he quotes that Rav Chaim Kanievsky told him that in his old age, the Chazon Ish backed out from his shittas about the tefach, the shir tefach, and the shir amo. That he had a machlokes with Avram Chaim Noah about how big is the tefach, and the Chazon Ish had bigger shirim. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky said at the end of his life he backed out from that shita. So here this moral gave me a letter. He thinks that the Chazon Ish backed out from his shita over here as well. We have to discuss where is the Torah. Okay, so maybe we'll save that for next week. Let me see what's the story. Next week is a normal schedule. I think next week by me is a normal schedule. So at 12 o'clock on Sunday is reasonable. People are free. Someone's getting married. No, somebody getting engaged? Should be with mazel? Okay. Whatever. Maybe 12 o'clock on Sunday. Okay.
Thank you,
have a good time. You too. I look for Shabbos, everybody.